Hello, this is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from South Central Washington State. I'm glad to be back with you again. This program, we've explored quite often different sections of the Bible, especially the New Testament, but it's pretty much wide open. The last series went for a little over a month, month and a half or so, on the book of Ephesians, and you may not be familiar with that book. It's a very small book. It's only six chapters, just a few pages, and but it's very power-packed, and lots of information in it, perhaps more concentrated than any other place in the Bible. This time, I want to certainly open this up for any questions if you want to call in. There's a number, 888-815-9756, and if you want to call in with any questions, that would be great, or perhaps things in the future that you would like to have covered as far as any particular study. As far as today, yeah, I'm open for any questions, or I might also, there's in the Old Testament, there's a book of Proverbs, and it's compiled mostly, it's thought to have been, as far as all from Solomon, and certainly King Solomon, who was considered at the time the wisest man and the wealthiest man in the world, certainly wrote most of it. So, but I'd be glad to field any questions. The number again is a worldwide number, area code 888, and it's 815, and then it's 9756. And so I just encourage you, if you have questions, to go ahead and call in, and right now, and until we get a call in, we just want to perhaps look at the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Over the many years, I've heard of many people, especially business people, that have become very successful, that they attribute a lot of their success to this book of Proverbs, that they had decided just to start reading it, and they decided, well, after they had read it once, that they were going to read it more often, and some of them made it a practice to read it once every month. This happens to be 31 chapters in it, and it doesn't take very long, just if you read it very fast, a minute or so to read it in a per chapter, or spending maybe 5-10 minutes a day on a chapter. Either way, now what the Proverbs are, it's various sayings of it says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now we know about Solomon that Israel was probably never greater except under his reign. And his kingdom ran clear up to the Euphrates River, and so Assyria and Lebanon were really under his influence and power, and clear down towards towards Egypt. And you have kings and queens of at that time that would come, and they would come bearing all sorts of gifts just to come and listen to him, because he was well renowned for his wisdom. And so this is a collection of the things that he wrote, plus some of the other proverbs of other kings, and I'm not sure the timing of those other kings, but we hear proverbs of about augurs and lemures, and so we want to cover a little bit of this today, unless you have questions. And I'd encourage you again, if you have any questions concerning any part of the Bible or other things, the number again is 888 and 815 9756. We look one of them, and to jump into Proverbs, it's in the Old Testament right after the book of Psalms. So it's an easy thing to find, because if you have a Bible, you just open, sort of split the Bible in two, and halfway through the Bible, you come to the book of Psalms. And just after that is Proverbs. In the third chapter of Proverbs, we just want to take perhaps a couple of verses here and look at them. In chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Often when things were written in the Proverbs, we see sort of couplets that they would use different words to convey the same meaning. So when we see the trust in the Lord, it's the other word is lean not, or don't. Basically, leaning and trusting are both the same. You might look at the word faith also. You might even interchange faith in there. You know, when we it says don't lean on your own understanding, we started thinking of things that we do every day. We come in and we sit down in a chair because we trust that chair is going to hold us. We have faith that it's not just going to immediately collapse on us. That so here we get this word trust and lean, and it really has a relationship to faith. Well, in the Bible, of course, God says that it's without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, but He also declares that each one of us, you and I, have been given a measure of faith. So the question comes down to, okay, with this faith, what are we doing with it? You've got it. You're trusting and believing in something. In fact, according to this, in verse 6 it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." What are all these ways? Well, it's every area of our life. We've made decisions, and because of our decisions, we get certain outcomes in our life. But it comes back before that is beliefs. Beliefs are the reason for the decisions, and then comes the outcomes. Lots of times in our lives, we think of decisions we've made, and some of them have been good, and then many also have been bad. And we think, well, all we have to do is make the right decision. But we're really jumping ahead of ourselves if we do that, because we can make, in different circumstances, bad decision after bad decision, or we can get to a place that we make a good decision after a good decision. Well, what's the reason why that we make those decisions? Really, it is because there's a belief system behind that often people overlook totally. If I just hadn't done that, if I had just not made that decision, or hooked up in partnership with that person, or made that business decision, or as far as a relationship with a significant other or spouse, we could look back perhaps a lots of times and say, boy, I'm glad I didn't make that decision. Well, the same is true as far as lots of times we can look back and say, boy, I really did make a bad decision. So it happens both ways. Well, here in chapter 3 of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6, it's telling us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says, don't lean on your own understanding. Now, that doesn't deny your understanding or your logic or your reasoning or your emotions. It's not saying that that's all bad. No, that's a gifting to you by God as well. God has placed that in you. However, he is telling us here that we're not supposed to rely on that. That we are supposed to use that, yes. But it says here that we're supposed to trust in the Lord. And it says, how are we supposed to trust in the Lord? It says, with all of our heart. So we have come along the way and we've seen how we've made bad decisions, and we don't quite understand. Sometimes we perhaps make the same bad decision over and over again. And then we've also see that we've made good decisions. And so we need to look before the decision process where that comes from. We see it's based on a belief system of perhaps our view of the world that influences that greatly, as far as if you think that you just evolved and then you're going to be have a perhaps a vastly different belief system than if you think that there was a creator, and that's going to make some difference. But then if there is a creator that wants to be personally involved with you, then that may and most likely would make a vastly different belief system. And so our belief systems, you can see, I know a notable person that happens to be in the Seattle area, that by the time he was 19 years old, six times he had ended up in jail. And he had been taught over and over in classes in high school that he was just a product of evolution. You see, we come up with the same idea also as far as perhaps with you think of a man and a woman, and they have intercourse. And if you just come up with the concept that, well, it's just a tissue, that fetus is just a tissue, that it's not really anything important until it grows, and as it grows and gets born, then it gains importance, and that it wasn't really important from the start, then we could easily come to the view that, well, for the convenience of the mother, that you could go ahead and destroy or kill that if your view is just the tissue, rather than if you have a belief system that there is a creator that not only loves you, but created you and cares about you and also about that child that is being formed. So, you see, our belief systems can radically change our view of things. If we are just a product of evolution, then we have no moral responsibility towards anybody. We can do whatever we want. And that was the view of this person that was six times in jail by the time he was 19. But something happened then. He came up before the judge, and he was told that either you go into this program for a year and a half or a couple years, I'm not sure just the duration of the time, or else you're going to be locked away. I'm going to lock you away in prison for many years. And so he chose to go into this program. This program is no longer in existence, but it happened to be a faith-based program, and a person happened to be a black man that had been in prison himself for, I think it was over 24 or 30 years, something like that, and he had only had one eye because the other one had been put out in a fight in prison, and he had spent the majority of his life in prison by far. And I think it had been over 30 years. But when he got out, he had been in prison, radically changed, because Jesus Christ, he had asked Jesus Christ to become Lord of his life. And because of that change, he cared about people. Instead of just existing and having no thought of any supreme being, or if there was one, wasn't really involved, well, that changed in his view. Well, he came out and wanted to start this program for other people coming out of prison. And he got a hold of this young guy that had been in prison, as I said, six times by the time he was 19. And radically, one of the things with the program was that you could have no contact whatsoever with your parents, anybody, any classmates or anybody at all that you had known before, and nobody from the outside. And I don't know what the period was 6 months or so, without any contact at all. And so he figured, well, he'd rather go to this program that he was basically locked up going through this thing, rather than going away for several years, a multiple of many, many years. And so he thought, okay, this year and a half or two or three, and I think it was a year and a half or a couple years, that I'd much rather do that than be put away for 10 years or so. And in this process of time, he started to realize that because of this person's caring about him and talking to him, you really don't know what's going on inside your head. You don't understand yourself, let alone anything else. And of course, he was, I know. Whatever it is, he knew. Well, at 19 years of age, lots of us perhaps can relate to that we might have thought that we knew everything, or a lot, anyway. And but something got a hold of him, and it was a matter of he had let God into his life. And he had actually thought that there came to the belief that if there is a personal God, if there is a real God that created everything and he wants to have interaction with me, then, well, if he's there, I'm willing, and I want him to come in. And that changed everything in this life. It created purpose and desire and a passion that he never had before. It was always just existing from one high to the next high, and not wanting to be confronted with anything. But all of a sudden, his life was radically changed. Well, this is part of this view that we have on life. We have this view of as far as whether we evolved or whether there's a creator. Well, this here, getting back to this one little short scripture, these couple verses here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That means that with everything that is in you, you're relying on Him. You do have understanding, and you're going to use it. That's not saying that you don't use any reason or logic or wisdom, or that you don't have any emotions that would influence them. It's not denying any of that. It is declaring openly to trust in the Lord with all your heart. So if there's a husband and a bride, in the best sense of the word, that they, because of their great love for each other, then they can trust each other. You see, many relationships, the love perhaps is limited because you don't know that the other person has your best interest in their heart. But when one has and one knows that the other person has their best interest in heart, then we can in turn have our best interest in them. And there's this trusting that we can go ahead and trust that in that relationship. Well, here, we can trust the Lord with everything that we have, and we don't have to lean on our own understanding. When it comes back to the Word of God, like this was written here in the book of Proverbs, well, God shows us many things that how to direct our lives. So we today can look to the words of Jesus. We can look to the words of other apostles and teachers and prophets in the Bible. We can look to the words here from what was considered the wisest person in the world up until the time of Jesus, and trust that what he's saying there can be applicable to us, and that this relationship with the Creator of everything can be useful and be a blessing to us, something that we can desire. And not only just desire, but then actually enter into and have. So this trusting, that's with everything. You are coming, like you trust in a chair. You trust that chair. You trust various things in limited ways in our life. But this is trusting, it says, with all of your heart. So there's no reservations there. Is not, I trust you if everything it goes well, or I trust you if this, or if that, or I trust you, but if something else happens, I'm going to take things back. And then it says here, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to use it. I'm going to trust in you and commit everything I have to you, and I ask you to guide and direct my steps, to either show me in your word or in my heart what is right. If it's not spelled out and clear in the word of God, that you will guide me to help me to make right decisions. And even when I make wrong decisions, you, because I love you, according to Romans, I believe it is either 8 or 12:28, it says if we trust in Him, that we can be assured that He's going to work all things together for our good, because He loves us. That He can work, if we love Him, this isn't a promise to everybody. It's a promise to those who love God. Now, lots of people will quote that verse and just say, okay, well, everything works together for good. Well, that's not at all what it says. That's it is what it says in, if you'd only complete the sentence, complete what it says, is for those who love God and with a heart after him, that are called according to his purpose. And so we see here the next verse, it says, in all of our ways. Well, we've got business, we've got perhaps a romance, a relationship with different people. We've got all sorts of different things in our lives, relationships with children, with parents. Our ways are endless as we are, is what we put into our lives. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In other words, you and I are to call upon him to enter into every area of our life, that nothing is off base or off limits for him in our lives. And so we want him to come in and to direct our paths. He promises that he will. That if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him, he, God, the creator of everything, shall direct our paths. That's, or it's talking about when it's directing, make smooth or make straight our paths that we are in. And that's what we want, rather than getting back to that picture before of perhaps three different boxes. We see the outcomes over here at the end, and we think that it's based on our decisions. But really, it's not just decisions and outcomes. There's something that comes before the decisions, which is our beliefs. So we need to go back to the first stage to make the good or better decisions. We need to adjust our beliefs, and that belief system is to trust in God with everything that we have, and not to lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. Once again, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to field any questions you have, and to the best of my ability, this is Dr. Don Cowan, and the telephone number for calling in is area code 888, toll-free number 815-9756. Once again, that is 888-815-9756. And I'd be glad to field any questions. So, getting back to the first part of the program, we were talking of having to mention that I've read of and also heard personally from people that would take the book of Proverbs, and especially businessmen would take this and read it, some of them annually, but then many of them actually had heard what a great effect it would do on them and their business, and enlarge their business if they take the book of Proverbs and read it once through every month. And there's only 31 chapters, so they would just take a chapter a day, and if it happened to be a 30-day month or a 28-day month, that they would just go ahead and read the extra chapters one of those days, and just continue to start over at the beginning of the next month. And so if you happen to be in business and wanting help in any activity or relationships in life, I would encourage you to go ahead and do that at least for 1 month. And at the end of that month, think about that as far as look back on the things that you've underlined. I hope you've got a Bible that you can underline things or to use a highlighter or something, that things will really stand out. Quite often the way they write several of these chapters, several of them will be sort of couplets that will present one opposite. Sometimes it just goes away along in maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 verses that are pretty much all in the same vein. They're all either be careful about this, 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 or all very positive. But much of it is spoken of that one verse will be a positive, and then the negative, or the opposite, the negative and then the positive. And let's I will just go ahead and read some of these, and not comment on them very much, and we'll just continue on. And I'd encourage you to once again just call in with your questions, and we'll stop and cover your questions. It's number is 888-815-9756. In following up from that verse where we left off, which was verse 6, we'll just continue in that chapter. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." So here we're talking about, he's telling us, don't be wise in your own eyes. Is just saying, like other places, he'll say that pride comes before a fall. And whenever we think of ourselves as having arrived or just special or better than other people, it's a dangerous place to be, because we are comparing ourselves with others. And the Bible in the New Testament tells us that we are not supposed to compare ourselves with others, and that sometimes we are supposed to judge ourselves, but it's not that we're supposed to compare ourselves with others. It says, so don't be wise in your own eyes, or think that that you've arrived in your understanding, but fear the Lord, depart from evil. And then it says an interesting thing here. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Well, that's very interesting. That must mean that if we are wise in our own eyes, and if we are participating in evil at all, that those things are going to be problems to our health. It's going to attack our health. It says that if we're not doing those things, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So it's going to be beneficial to your physical body if you're not exalting yourself, and if there's opportunities to do good and evil, and that you are choosing the good, that then it's also going to be beneficial for your own body as well. Okay, in verse 9 in chapter 3 of Proverbs, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Boy, I've seen this in various plaques and other things in people's homes from time to time, and even in perhaps places of business, that this honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. In other words, you're giving truly you're honoring him, saying it's the opposite of being wise in your own eyes. It is instead getting back to this trusting in the Lord, and it's with everything you got, all your possessions, and the first fruits. In other words, you're saying that what I have, lots of people, we can look at it, oh, well, that's what I earned, and that's what is my wages, or that's what I created. But this is saying that, God, here's this person that is so wealthy, so rich, the richest person in the world, the mightiest kingdom at the time, and he is declaring this. He's telling people, and it's amazing if we go to the book of Chronicles and see the vast, when he dedicated the temple, the vast number of things he sacrificed and gave, it's totally beyond belief. But yet it happened. And so this is a person that's not just speaking something, but actually did it, that he honored the Lord with his possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. So well, what does this mean? That if we do this, it's basically saying that there's going to be results. Well, what are the results that we're going to see? It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, I've heard of, literally in my lifetime, hundreds and hundreds of cases of people that have talked about the things that they, how that they got this revelation of the Lord, of God Almighty, that when they started giving, and especially that they started giving as the Bible had described how to give, and as far as their the first of their blessings or their increases, and the first of perhaps their paycheck or whatever, that then it says, just like this says, so that your barns will be filled with plenty. In other words, that we might say our houses, our homes, or even our bank accounts. I mean, it's basically our life. So it's not just talking about cash. It's talking about perhaps our health and family. And so it's covering everything. And so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Goes on in verse 11 of chapter 3 of Proverbs, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So, I think we've all been as far as, because we've made bad decisions, we end up with sometimes bad outcomes. And so we might think of that as the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. It says, verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Wow, that sounds good. It talks about us not just enjoying things, but it's talking about enjoyment, that you're going to be filled with joy, be filled with happiness, is the person who finds wisdom. Well, where do we find wisdom? This is a good place right here, the book of Proverbs, where we can come to the book of Proverbs and find a whole lot of wisdom. And it says, the man who gains understanding also, happy is he. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we see three separate things, and they're all all listed, and that, like it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or also it talks about of knowledge and of understanding. Well, we might think of these three separate things, and when it talks about fear, this is not a bad fear. There's bad fear, truly, but there's a good fear that is a matter of awe-inspiring, as far as there's a healthy fear and there's bad fear. Like if something is like fearing the Lord is a blessing, but the fear of thieves breaking in and stealing, of fear of not having enough money to clothe yourself or have a roof over your head, the fear of snakes or spiders or anything. There's the matter of fear goes, as the Bible says, fear has torment. Well, it's not speaking of the same fear as the fear of the Lord. It's a different type of fear, and it's a different type of word. And things get translated into English sometimes the same way, but yet have different meanings. And so there's things that we are supposed to be, afraid of, like the healthy fear of our Creator. It's a healthy appreciation and love and desire and compassion. But then there's also things that, because of that relationship, that we no longer have to fear other things. It gets back to a scripture in the New Testament that Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that you do have need of will be added unto you." So, you see, fear of the Lord would be like desiring the things of God first of all. And these other things that are negative fears, then, or basically just needs in our life. And that God's not denying the needs or seeking those other things. He just says, seek first. So it's priority. Where's your and my priority? Is it in our God, in our Creator? If it is, and that we're seeking after Him, He then promises, and He doesn't promise this if we're not seeking Him first. He just promises if He's top priority in our life, more, that everything else, the other 99 things that we do have need of, if He's more important than they are, then He promises that those other things that we have need of, He will provide. So we need to look at the Lord that way, and we look at the scriptures that way. And it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits of gold and silver. Let's go on. Verse 16, it says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths of peace. She is like a tree for to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. And so this is saying, talking about this wisdom, that it's the Word of God here is encouraging us to grab hold of this wisdom, this understanding, and it's speaking about itself. Here it is, Proverbs, speaking about itself, that if we want to prolong our days, you see, your days aren't absolutely set on this world, on this earth, is that if we take wisdom as far as our health and other things, that it says we understand that we can prolong our days. So it says if we honor our father and mother, that we can prolong our days. And it says also that not only length of days, but riches and honor, and ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. And by his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back. Tomorrow I will give it. When you have it with you, do not despise evil against do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble, and the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. In chapter 4 it says, hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory she will deliver to her, to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Well, throughout the Word of God, there's words upon words to guide our lives. But the most important thing is that in this world, there's two types of people. And there's those that are saved and those who are about to be saved. And you're a wonderful person. And God has created people. And we have made many decisions and choices in our lives. And I have a question for you. Are you one who is saved or one who is about to be saved? If you can't say that you know for a certainty that you're saved, I just ask you to repeat this after me. That's right, just to say it. Actually, speak out loud so your own ears can hear it. It might be just a whisper, or it might be so that if nobody else is around, you might want to speak loudly. But just say this, Father, forgive my sins. That's right. Just go ahead and say that. You say to your Creator, the Father of everything, the Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. My question for you right now is, where's Jesus right now? If you prayed that, you prayed for the Father to forgive your sins, and you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Then you asked God Almighty to make you the kind of person that He has made you, can make you to be, and that He desires you to be. We look back here at the book of Proverbs, and what is this all about? This is God revealing to us practical things for day-to-day life. And it has changed the way of many millionaires and has caused many of them to even proclaim to the fact that when they grabbed hold of the book of Proverbs, it changed their position and in their dealings with people and their dealings with God. And it caused changes in their business design that because of the change in their business design, it released funds into their business. And so we just encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. And then also, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, is that I'd encourage everybody that we all just especially remember to read also the book of John every year. It's in the New Testament. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. Well, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you. If in the future, if you have any questions, we may be getting into a new subject next week, but we just wanted to spend 1 week in this book anyway, and just to encourage you to, if you're involved with business or in any relationships, and we all are in one way or another, that we think and be reminded to look to what God has to say about these relationships and what will make a change for the better. And I'd encourage you to come back to this book. Okay, we will look forward and to speaking to you again next week. And I just pray in Jesus' name that God may bless you and guide you and direct you, and that His grace might be showered upon you, and that each one of us may come to the knowledge of God, of His truth and love and grace for us. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.